Today's news in the newspaper world is about bankruptcy. The company that publishes the Los Angeles Times and the Chicago Tribune filed for Chapter 11. Another big newspaper is suffering from lost ad sales, but its staff is still expanding. That's the Wall Street Journal, recently bought by News Corp, the conglomerate controlled by Rupert Murdoch.
About 1 year after the takeover, we visited the Manhattan offices of the editor Rupert Murdoch installed. Robert Thompson last worked for the Financial Times. Now that he's moved to the Journal, he's instructing this influential business paper to cover more general interest news.
What has driven you to shift the focus of a paper that obviously has covered politics and other issues for a long time, but is best known for its business coverage?
Well, we've broadened out the paper. There are four extra pages. Much of that has gone into international coverage, which has been in terrible decline elsewhere in the US. But that's also enabled us the extra space to do some more general and political news, national news, local news, without in any way degrading our role as the most important business newspaper in the world.
I'm trying to get at the sense of whether you feel that you're tweaking the newspaper here or creating a different kind of newspaper. Which is it?
It's a different kind of newspaper. It's the Wall Street Journal. It remains the best business paper, but it's playing to its inherent strengths as a paper which is able to report the world in a way that's far superior to the competition. If you look at other newspapers in New York that aspire to cover international affairs, it's sort of a roving searchlight. When they focus it on a country, that country is important, but that's not really how the world works.
When Robert Thompson mentions other papers that merely aspire, he says, to cover the world, it's a dig at that other big paper, the New York Times. The Journal is competing in areas that the Times has dominated. And when we spoke with Times editor Bill Keller, he snapped back.
Watching the Journal over this past year or so has been like watching the McCain campaign. You're never sure which one's going to show up on a given day. I mean, when Murdoch bought the Journal, you know, we all sat up and took notice. I mean, here was a billionaire who doesn't seem to care that much if his newspapers lose money because he makes it back on TV and other things, talking about hiring the best 100 business writers in America and coming after the New York Times in sports coverage and culture coverage and all of that stuff. In hindsight, I think a lot of that was bluster. They may have found a lot of readers were a little confused by what is this Wall Street Journal that's trying to be the New York Times. I think it's less of a competitive threat now than it was 2 years ago.
The Wall Street Journal is changing day by day. The new editor, Robert Thompson, oversees a staff that is constantly reshaping the front page. Years ago, it was notable for long black and white columns, a 19th century style. These days, big color pictures appear.
You've been described as not liking a lot of Wall Street Journal articles because they were too long.
Well, that's an accusation which is untrue.
How would we phrase it properly? Or is there no concern at all about
the
length of stories?
It's just too long. I mean, and length is not a measurement of quality. That part, I strongly believe. And making sure that you have stories of the right length that serve the needs of the reader appropriately is one of the things that all journalists on any newspaper have to ask of themselves.
Yet Robert Thompson insists that his boss, Rupert Murdoch, will preserve and even improve the Wall Street Journal.
An investment of a dollar in news coverage now will get you a greater return than at any time in history because it's a relative strength and there's comparative weakness among our competitors.
That makes sense when you say it, but it seems like a lot of other investors don't agree with that. What do you see that they don't see?
Well, we see an intelligent audience. We see the great trends of our time undiminished by a financial crisis, and one of those trends is globalization, the other digitization. And globalization means being aware of the world, whether you're a university lecturer or a business person in Chicago. There's no doubt that we're filling a void there, and I'd like to think it's a very profitable void.
Is the Wall Street Journal, in your view, in a better position than most newspapers to make money out of more news coverage? Because you can think about selling this content again in China, for example, whereas if you're the Los Angeles Times, you've got a limit.
I think you think in terms of the cost of content as a once-only expense, and the potential revenue of content is how much you're able to repurpose that. For example, in India, you have Star TV, which News Corp owns. It's a great platform for journal content.
Meaning that Star TV might say, the Wall Street Journal is reporting today that whatever.
And exactly. And it's not doing us a particular favour, but it's just leveraging those relationships in a way that makes sense and frankly, were impossible in the past.
Is News Corp willing to lose money on this newspaper, if necessary, to make it grow in the way that you want it to grow and to make it valuable for other properties within News Corp?
Well, with any investment, you would go through a period of infrastructure investment. But the long-term payoff is clear, and the long-term potential is clear.
So this has to make money in the long run in order for Rupert Murdoch to think this was a successful investment.
Well, Dow Jones and the Wall Street Journal have to make money to prove that they're relevant. Because if you're not relevant, you're irrelevant. And irrelevance is unsustainable.
How often does Rupert Murdoch call the telephone on your desk over there?
We talk regularly, a couple of times a day. I mean, we talk about Japanese politics, the Indian economy, you name it.
Is he asking about coverage of those issues in the journal?
Well, he's more talking in a general way about particular themes, trends, in a very, very eclectic way.
Are those story assignments?
No, they're not story assignments. Of course, look, Rupert is interested in the journal. And on the craft of putting out a newspaper, he is an expert. He's been doing it for decades. And whether it's the size of a headline or the crop of a photograph, he's unafraid to express an opinion. And he's quite entitled to express an opinion.
Are there occasions when you have to say, look, Rupert, do you call him Rupert, by the way, or Mr. Murdoch?
Well, I call him Rupert.
Rupert. Do you have to say, look, Rupert, I realize you're the boss, but, you know, your criticism is just off base?
Look, there's a fundamental misunderstanding about how Rupert works. Of all the people that I've worked for, as a journalist, he has given me the greatest autonomy and therefore the greatest freedom for the journal.
Does that mean you can tell him no?
That means you can have an argument if you like, and you can certainly say no.
Well, Mr. Thompson, thanks very much.
Thank you.
This is one of two conversations with leading newspaper editors, and you can find our talk with Bill Keller of the New York Times at NPR.org. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montagne.